At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Rob Longo.
Hi, friends, and welcome to today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of the Charlotte Hornets, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Rob Longo with you. After, unfortunately, a silver linings edition of the HHC, Charlotte falls at home last night to the Dallas Mavericks, 130-104. Final home game of the season, final home game for head coach Steve Clifford. We'll talk about that and some of the honors that were displayed at Spectrum Center for him last night. We'll also talk about our silver lining performances. It's also a game day edition of the HHC, and Charlotte has its final back-to-back of the season. They are in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks, who might be a little tired, and we will explain why here a little bit later on. But helping me out with all of these topics and segments here on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast, one final time in person this season, the one and only lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Pirelli. Sam, I know we'll have you on for a couple of road games, but good to see your smiley face here inside Spectrum Center, across the desk from me, I suppose.
Yes, starting another little streak of, as mentioned to Sam yesterday, I think all, well, not tomorrow. It'll be a Willie Palazic special. So he's interrupting the streak that I was about to start. So never mind. But yeah,
we'll get you back on. Don't worry.
Squeezing in a couple last ones here as the regular season is winding down.
We figured we would throw one more to Willie P just to wrap up the season before we get you on for the final couple ones. But yeah, let's go ahead and just break this one down. Hornets, again, fall last night, 130-104. Didn't play terrible. Ended up finishing the game 44% from the field, about 31% from beyond the arc, 16-21 at the free throw line. Mavs are just a very good team and are playing really good basketball right now. 54% from the field for Dallas, 34% from beyond the arc, but they also chucked up 50 of them, and they were 13-20 from the free throw line. Biggest difference in this one, obviously, Luka Doncic, 39 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, his 77th career triple-double in the contest last night, times James Harden for one of the most all-time here in NBA history among those constituents there. But again, Luka was the one that basically was the difference. He had a very big first quarter, 21-7-2 in the first quarter alone. He finished the first half, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Kyrie Irving had a big game as well, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. They got 26 points from Daniel Gafford as well, but all in all, the Mavericks played a very good basketball game last night, and a lot of it felt like it was A, Luka Doncic, but B, also in that first half, a lot of second chance points opportunities. In that first half alone, Dallas had 20 points off of 10 offensive rebounds. The Hornets had just 2 off of 1 offensive rebound, so it seemed like those two combinations in the first half really put this one out of reach for the Hornets, who were down 69-47 at halftime. They clawed back. They made it a 14-point deficit going into the fourth quarter, but Dallas able to pull it away 33-21, outscoring the Hornets in that final frame. But those were kind of the two big bullet points, or the ones that I really leaned on there, Sam, about the reason why the Hornets lost the game last night.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just kind of a slow start. And when you start slow, and I think Steve Clifford mentioned it after the game or before the game, that was not the team to be starting slow against. That's a team that is just playing as good as anybody already in the NBA right now, the Dallas Mavericks. They talked a little bit about the lineup switch they made back on March 7th, putting Derek Jones Jr. and Daniel Gafford into the starting lineup. And Gafford, had, like you said, 26 points, tied a career high. He was also 12 of 12 from the field, with 11 of those makes coming at the rim. So a very good finishing game, needless to say, on his part. So he's been a good addition for them. It felt like the start wasn't quite there. And, you know, you're going up a team that is, I think Dallas was, they needed a win in either a Phoenix or New Orleans loss last night to come up with a playoff berth. At the time of the recording, we don't know whether one of those two things happened in the New Orleans or Phoenix loss, but they're obviously very close to securing that top six seed. So they were playing for something. The energy intensity wasn't there from the start. Luka hit a lot of big time ISO threes that there's just almost nothing you could do. They're almost indefensible. And I think it kind of took a little bit of whatever little wind the Hornets had in their sails. It kind of ripped it out. And like you said, the second chance points, it didn't even really feel like it was a physicality thing. It felt like a lot of tap outs, a lot of Kleba. He just was so good at kind of directing those, basically just de facto passes, and they would kick it around the perimeter and find another open three. So they just got down by too much, and it just was way too big a hole to come back in the second half.
It was a fairly emotional beginning of the game here. A lot going on. Obviously, last home game for head coach Steve Clifford here as the head coach of the Hornets before he steps down at the end of the season. Homecoming for PJ Washington, his first game back since being dealt at the trade deadline. Grant Williams going up against his former team. Unfortunately, Seth Curry was hurt. He couldn't go up against the Mavericks. Taj Bertans did play a season in Dallas a year ago, but not as big of a factor compared to Sunday's game against Oklahoma City, the most recent former team for him now as of late. But a lot of storylines going into this one. Before the game as well, head coach Steve Clifford was honored with a little pregame ceremony, given a customized jersey out on the court commemorating his seven seasons coached here in the Queen City between both stints. And before the game, there was a little bit of a thank you video with some of his former players thanking him for his guidance over the course of several seasons here in Charlotte. Here's a little excerpt from that video and some of the recent players and some of the modern players too of who Steve Clifford coached.
Having him as my, you know, first NBA coach, I think that's a good thing.
First of all, I want to say thank you.
All the young men that you've coached, been a mentor to on the basketball court and off the court as well, has been truly amazing.
All the advice, helping me become a better player, helping me gain confidence.
You know, he has all the experience. I just love playing for Cliff.
I think I speak for all the guys in the NBA that you've ever coached. Just saying how amazing you are, just really want to say thank you.
The franchise leader in wins tonight. Yeah.
Hey, practice tomorrow at 7 a.m.
To anybody that's ever been a Charlotte Hornets fan, I'm sure they want to say thank you as well for everything that you've done for the city of Charlotte.
Not only as a coach, but as a person. Love you, man. Love you.
From me to you, I want to say thank you and good luck in the next chapter of life.
Couple of great Hornets in there, Marvin Williams, Kemba Walker as well, Brandon Miller heard in that little montage as well. But after the game, Steve Clifford was asked about the ceremony before the game. Here's what he had to say.
It was nice, really nice, and I appreciate, you know, everybody putting, you know, organization of that, and that's something that I'll treasure going forward, you know. Obviously, Kemba and Marvin I'm really close with because I coach them longer, and I have a really good relationship with Brandon, and I'm looking forward to having that grow, you know, over these next few, you know, whatever years, as long as I'm still here. So that'll be something that I'll take, and you know, when I'm by myself, right, I'll watch it, you know, and go from there. You know, the thing that's hard tonight, that's really of the eight games here at home, we just didn't have any intensity to start. And when you get down behind a team like that, that they put so much pressure on you, either one of those guys have the ball. Because really, the two middle quarters, we played pretty well, you know, a lot better. But you can't get behind like that at home. You know, especially they're playing. That's a huge game for them, you know. So these next three, Boston will be different probably, you know, because they play Thursday and that game's meaningless for them. So I don't know. But, you know, like Sunday and tomorrow night for Atlanta, that'll be a big game for them.
I think that entire clip right there, Sam, encapsulates Steve Clifford. He goes from talking about how it was a very nice montage, and then he just goes immediately back into coach speak and talking about how the energy needs to change for today's game against the Hawks and all of that stuff. I feel like that is just Coach Cliff to a T, where he might recognize that something was nice given to him, but then it's just immediately back to the team and back to trying to win basketball games.
Yeah, and this is something that he spoke a little bit about last week when he made the decision to step down. And I think that's, like you said, it's kind of the way he thinks, is he kind of wants to focus on the season. There will be a time and a place, a moment when he kind of can sit back and reflect on everything. And I think the last thing he wants to do is, when that time comes, is sit back and reflect on it and say, you know what, I kind of wasn't fully invested in those last 6 or 7 games because I was thinking about kind of the other stuff. Like you said, that's exactly how he operates. It's exactly how he's always operated. He's always thinking about the game, what went right, what went wrong, these little plays, the level of detail, you know. And I think he knows he owes it to himself when he kind of takes a, I think it's kind of like all of us too, in a sense, when you finish a season in particular, it takes a few days and you take a step back and then you're like, okay, you know, it's, you can kind of look back at a little bit, but when you're in it right now, as you know, as we are, we're kind of, and again, I'm not comparing what we do to head coaching in the NBA, but when you're in it, you're always kind of thinking about the next game or thinking about the last game and finishing all the work for that one and getting ready for the next one, like we're doing right now. Exactly. We're just finishing this Mavericks game and getting, thinking about the Hawks game coming up. So I know he's very reflective and I know he's very blessed and thankful and appreciative of, you know, his head coaching tenure, not only in Charlotte, but in Orlando. And he'll definitely give it the proper reflection. And he's also very excited, as you could tell in that press conference last week, about the next step in the NBA and learning and still being closely tied to the franchise. So, but yeah, you're definitely right. That was very Steve Clifford-esque to kind of blend the two feelings there.
One more comment before we go on to our silver lining segment here on today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast. After the game, Grant Williams talked about Coach Cliff and some of the frustrations that it brought, not only hearing that Steve Clifford is going to step down at the end of the season, but the play that the Hornets have put together because of the fact that Grant just wanted to send him out on a winning note.
Yeah, it was, for me, I can only speak for myself, but I was definitely caught off guard and kind of sad because, you know, I really enjoyed the time that I've had here in Charlotte so far, and I think that we have potential for the future. And I thought Cliff was going to be that guy to lead us to it. And, you know, sometimes you can't control things in the world, and it sucks that, you know, he's having to step away. And you know, it definitely was a sad moment for me just because I really, really love Cliff as a coach and as a man. And he does a phenomenal job of communicating not only as a coach, but also as a person. And I think everybody that's played for him or been around him can say that.
Still 3 more opportunities, though, to send Coach Cliff out on a winning note. That begins tonight in Atlanta. We'll have our game preview here in just a couple of moments. But coming up next here on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast, we're going to talk about our silver linings from last night's game. Again, Hornets fall last night 130-104. Silver linings on the way right after this here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Rob Longo and lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, on this edition of the HHC. Hornets fall last night to Dallas to wrap up an 8-game homestand, a franchise record 8-game homestand, that is, and they fall 130-104. Also the final home game of the season for the Hornets. They will have 3 games on the road to finish up the season. Time now for our silver lining performances. Of course, if we could pick one, it would probably be Luka Doncic. 39 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists for a triple-double last night for the Mavericks. He was by far the best player out there on the floor for either side. But the Hornets had a lot of nominees as well. Miles Bridges, a team high 22 points. Brandon Miller had 21. All in all, five players finished in double figures for the Hornets. So Sam Parley, with all that said, who's your silver lining performer from last night's game? Your top one.
Yes, on the Hornets side, I will lightly second that Luka Doncic. He was spectacular last night. I'll go with Miles Bridges, silver lining for the Hornets. Team high 22 points, was 8 of 15 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, hit all 4 of his free throws, had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block, and played 36 minutes as well. I thought he was helped him kind of keep things afloat a little bit in that third quarter, keep him within striking distance. I think he had 13 points in the third to get it. I think the Hornets were down maybe 14 going into the fourth after trailing by 22 at halftime. So I thought he was really good, and it's just solid. You know, he's taking good shots and, you know, attacking the basket, things like that. And he also, on a milestone alert, moved into eighth place on the Hornets' all-time scoring leaderboard, passing Raymond Felton. I think Miles is now at 5,320 points. I needed 14 coming in. So a little bit of history for Miles in a silver lining performance last night.
Lexi Pokuševski to the post. Miles Bridges against Jones. Backs his way in. Goes right around him, up with the right-hand floater. Got it! Plus the foul!
Yeah, a little bit of a slow start for Miles last night, but he finished with those 22 points, 13 of his 22, coming in that third quarter, like you mentioned, which, again, I thought kept the team afloat there, considering that the Hornets did close the third quarter on a 12-2 run in the final 3 minutes and 12 seconds to kind of get themselves back into it. But unfortunately, Dallas, like I mentioned in the first segment, outscoring the Hornets 33-21 there in that fourth quarter to really put things out of reach, shooting 61% from the field in that final frame as well. But for me, my silver lining performance, I think I took him the other day as well, I might as well just stay with this hot hand, it's going to be Trey Mann.
Mann, the steal. He'll rise, the lay-in. Yes! Counted at a foul! He picks Kyrie's pocket and then draws the frustration foul on the opposite end and has himself a three-point play opportunity.
I thought Trey played a complete game. I know he's been kind of, I don't want to say cornered into that two-guard spot here as of late, but he's been playing more of the two with Vasemichus playing the main point guard duties. But Trey in the game last night, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists off 5 of 13 shooting. Three-point shot wasn't there, just 0 of 2 from beyond the arc. But all in all, I really like what Trey Mann did out there. I know he had a couple of steals sprinkled in defensively as well. But again, I think he's one of those guys that's just been so consistent here for the Hornets ever since he's been dealt from Oklahoma City. I know he had a couple of rough patches there as of late in terms of games where he might have had a couple of too many turnovers and that sort of thing, but I thought he played a pretty solid game in the contest last night. A couple of other cap tips out there. Brandon Miller, 21 points off of 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. Also had 6 rebounds and 4 assists. Grant Williams had 12 points as well. 5 of 12 shooting, just 1 for 5 beyond the arc, but he also had 3 rebounds and 4 assists. Davis Bertans got hot off the bench, especially in the second quarter. 10 of his 13 coming in that second frame. He had a couple of way deep three-pointers. He was 3 of 7 from beyond the arc. He also had 4 rebounds as well in the contest last night. So a couple of cap tips sprinkled out there. One other person to mention as well, PJ Washington in his homecoming. A little bit of a rough day there for the Mavs. He finished with just 1 point. He was 1 for 2 from the free throw line, 0 for 7 from the field, 0 for 6 beyond the arc. Did have 7 rebounds and 3 assists. But again, don't have to do a whole lot when you have a guy like Luka Doncic on the other side that goes for 39, 12, and 10 in the game. Hornets fall last night 130-104. It's also a game day, though. Quick turnaround here for the Hornets. Final back-to-back of the season. They are in Atlanta taking on the Hawks tonight. We will have your game preview for you right after this here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com,
one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
It's a game day edition of the HHC. Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, with you on this game day segment of the Hornets Hivecast. Hornets taking on the Atlanta Hawks tonight. As we get set for this one, we will have our players to watch and our stat to watch. A little bit of a primer heading into this one, though. Atlanta might be on some tired legs here this evening. I know they get to sleep in their own beds tonight, but they had to play a double overtime game last night against the Miami Heat, and they eventually lost 117-111. Tyler Hero had a game-high 33 points for the Heat, but on the other side, a lot of stars for the Hawks, who are still without Trae Young going into the home stretch of the season. DeJounte Murray finished with 29 points, 13 rebounds, 13 assists for a triple-double. He played 49 minutes in the game last night. Bogey Bogdanovich played 45 minutes with just 11 points. DeAndre Unhert played 47 minutes. He had 23 points and 11 rebounds in the game last night as well. So a lot of tired legs potentially out there for the Hawks. Again, last time the Hornets were in Atlanta, did not go well. A 132-91 loss in Atlanta. Miles Bridges had a team-high 27 points in that one. DeJounte Murray, game-high 28 for the Hawks. He also had 7 rebounds and 12 assists. Atlanta outscored Charlotte 33-17 in the final frame. The Hawks also got a lot of help off the bench in that one. They had 20 from Garrison Matthews. Bruno Fernando had a career-high 25 points coming off the bench as well. Those two did not touch those numbers at all last night. Fernando had 12 points in the game. Garrison Matthews had 11. So we'll see what is in store for the Hornets tonight, who, again, maybe a little bit of a silver lining because the game was out of reach later in the contest. Hornets got a lot of those starters out there with about 4 minutes left in the contest to get some rest there before the second night of a back-to-back. So with that sprinkled in with the fact that Atlanta played a double overtime game last night, it'll be interesting to see what happens here this evening in Atlanta. But Sam Perley, you know how all of these game previews work. We need a Hornet to watch, a Hawk to watch, and a Stat to watch. Where would you like to begin?
Yes, and one more quick thing on that Atlanta double overtime. I was watching that game last night. I was just finishing up writing, and I saw it going to overtime, and then saw it, hey, double overtime. Keep it going. Like, just, you know, wear those legs out.
Can we get
out.
Six overtimes
yeah,
here?
Yeah, keep them going. And I would test it. Coming out of a double overtime game and not winning that one only makes it a
little
bit
worse. Yeah, that's
going
to hurt a little bit
too. And this, again, will be a game that Atlanta needs as of right now. They are one game back of Chicago in the Eastern Conference standings. They're going to be in the 9-10 play-in game in all likelihood. It's just a matter of, actually definitely will be, it's just a matter of whether Chicago or Atlanta is going to host that one. So Atlanta will definitely need to win this one, or wants to win this one for sure, because that could be the difference between advancing to that 7-8 game or not. So my Hornet to watch is going to be Vasilije Micic. A little bit of a tough one last night for Vasilije. Had just 6 points, 3 of 10 from the field, missed all three threes, didn't get to the line, only had 2 rebounds and 4 assists. Was a really good homestand overall for him. He in the 6 games that he played prior to this Mavericks one, he was averaging a double-double, 12.5 points, 10.2 assists, shot 41%, and also was averaging 1.2 steals. So just had a little bit of an off night. I expect him to kind of get back where he was, scoring a double figure, 7, 8, 9 assists. We'll be facing his Serbian national teammate, Bogdan Bogdanovic. So maybe that will give him a little bit of extra motivation, as well as Igor Kokoshkov, who is also a Serbian assistant coach for the Hawks as well. So maybe that'll kind of get the competitive fire going for Vasa tonight.
Does that mean that's a big game for Poku as well, another Serbian?
That's as well, yeah, exactly. That could be, you can add him there as my guy to watch. So, yeah.
Could be a lot going on there in the game tonight here, Serbian-wise, apparently. But for me, I understand the dynamic of picking guys that might have had bad games and are looking for bounce backs. I do that a lot too when I'm looking at players to watch, but one of the guys that I'm really going to key in on tonight is going to be Grant Williams. I know he had the 12 points and the 4 assists and 3 rebounds, and he was 5 of 12 from the field in last night's game, just 1 of 5 beyond the arc. But it feels like any time that the Hornets play the Hawks and they elect to go small, it works out really, really well in Charlotte's favor. It feels like Clint Capella has a hard time when the floor is stretched against him. And I know that it doesn't look like that all the time, especially if you go back to that game last night against Miami where Bam Adebayo's out there and he's one of those more traditional centers, he can step out and hit a three. I mean, heck, he was 2 for 2 beyond the arc last night, but Clint Capela, I always feel like, has some trouble guarding those smaller guys. He's more of your traditional rim protector. So if Grant Williams is able to step out, and if he's able to do better than 1 for 5 from three and force players to come out and guard him and force Clint Capela out of the paint, I think that's going to open up a lot offensively here for the Hornets tonight. So I think that's why Grant Williams might be the key in this one this evening for the Hornets. With that said, we have to go with a Hawk to watch and a Stat to watch. Where would you like to go next?
I will go with a Hawk to watch. My Hawk to watch is going to be DeJounte Murray. Last time the Hornets saw the Hawks a few weeks ago, he had 28 points, 10 of 14 shooting, 7 of 9 threes, tied a season high for threes. Also had 7 rebounds, 12 assists, 4 steals. And he only played 31 minutes that game, too. I think they probably pulled him at the start of the fourth quarter because it started to get out of hand. But felt like he just went on a run in that game where he was hitting everything left and right and really got into a groove. And since that game, or in counting that game, Atlanta has gone 6-4, and he's averaging 23.6 points, but taking 21 shots a game. So he hasn't been super efficient, you know, shooting about 44% from the field, 37% from three. Another kind of strange thing about him, does not get to the line very often. In this 10-game stretch, averaging 2.2 free throws, but also 6.2 rebounds, 9.9 assists, and 1.8 steals. This is all without Trae Young as well. So has had some games where he is can't miss and had a lot of games where he is just taking a whole lot of shots and not really getting to the line, not being super efficient. So hopefully the Hornets can kind of force him a little bit into the ladder and not get him going like they saw a few weeks ago, because a repeat of that would certainly not be good.
And over those last 10 games, I think a lot of that has been inflated a little bit as well, considering he had 44 points against Boston back at the end of March. And in that game, you talk about the efficiency. He took 44 shots in that contest. He was 18 of 44 from the field, 6 of 19 from beyond the arc, and again, just 2 for 2 at the free throw line. So it's interesting to see how many shot attempts he's really going to put up. I'll be honest, he was going to be my Hawk to watch if you didn't take him. So with that said, I got to kind of pivot in a little bit of a different direction. And for me, I think to kind of go along with the center position or the battle in the paint more or less, I'm going to look at Bruno Fernando. And I know that it might be a little odd. We don't talk about Bruno, per se, maybe, on this podcast. You a Disney fan there, Sam? Encanto reference? Get it? Nope.
I have seen the movie, and I feel like you had this teed up the entire day.
Okay, that's fair. I didn't have it teed up the entire day, but it's something that Sam and I joked about in between breaks the last Hawks game. But again, Fernando had a really big game that last contest. He only had 12 points against the Heat last night, 4 of 5 shooting from the field, so he was efficient. But the thing about him is he is a more traditional center, and right now, the way, if you go back to the last time that these two teams played, it was a flip in the starting lineup. It was Grant Williams coming off the bench, and it was Nick Richards getting the start. And Nick Richards in that game was a minus 17 in the plus minus. Grant Williams was a minus 29, because most of the time, because of the way the rotations worked out, it was Williams against Fernando. So I think the fact that if you're able to switch it a little bit and the Hornets are able to go small, because like I talked about, Clint Capela has a little bit more difficulty guarding those small ball fives, that gives Grant Williams an advantage. I feel like that plays into the hand a little bit of Nick Richards as well, kind of going strength for strength in a sense in that matchup. So that's why I'm taking Fernando in this game tonight in terms of my Hawks player to watch. So that leaves us with just a statistic to watch. What's a number you're keeping an eye on tonight?
And real quick on the Bruno thing, Onyeka Okongwu is continuing to deal with a very prolonged toe injury. He's only played 2 games since the All-Star break. He was not in that March 23rd game.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of size on that team right now.
Exactly, yeah, and he's not a super big center to begin with, so they could obviously turn to Fernando again, especially with how well he played against the Hornets last time. But my stat to watch tonight is going to be 3-point shooting, and I originally made this note before the Hawks shot 10 of 46 against the Heat for 21.7% in that double overtime loss. But from opening night to March 21st, which was the game before they faced the Hornets in the game we've been referencing, they were 18th in the NBA in 3-point percentage, and they're 11th in the NBA in the 10 games since. They were actually up to 5th in the 9 games and then dropped to 11th after shooting 10 of 46 against the Heat last night. But in that stretch, they've had 5 players: Garrison Matthews, who I think is leading the league in 3-point percentage right now, or is very close. Vit Krejci, Jalen Johnson, DeJounte Murray, and Bogdan Bogdanovic, all shooting at least 36% on 3 attempts per game. I think the Hornets have actually done really well at the 3-point line. They've been shooting pretty well. I like the 5-out offense with Grant Williams. The game against the Mavericks, they were only 20 of 32 for 31%. So that was kind of obviously not as good as they had been shooting, but I think three-point shooting opened the floor a little bit, knocked down some shots. I think you move Williams around a little bit more and kind of get the open looks going. I think if Vasily has a little bit of a better game too, that could kind of generate some facilitating and some open opportunities. So three-point shooting, hopefully the Hornets shoot much better than they did last night, and hopefully the Hawks shoot what they shot last night, or preferably even worse than the 10 of 46 they had against Miami.
Well, if that is the case, then they're going to have to really focus in on my stat to watch, and that's going to be the rebounding, because the Hornets just got absolutely decimated last night by the Mavericks. They got out-rebounded 55-39 in the game. Second chance points, 28 of them in favor of the Mavericks, as they were just able to roll on those offensive rebounds. I mean, they end up finishing the game with 16 offensive boards to get to those 28 second chance points. Hornets had 8 offensive rebounds for 16 second chance points, so not terrible, but definitely not as many one and dones as you would want on that side for the Mavericks. And Atlanta's a very good rebounding team. They're 6th in the association when it comes to rebounding. They out-rebounded the Heat last night, 59-46 in favor of the Hawks. They are just able to track down balls, and they're able to get every single rebound, it feels like, and that's something that the Hornets are really going to have to limit, especially on the defensive end of the glass. If the Hawks are going to shoot a poor percentage again, if they shoot 21-22% from three, if they shoot under 40% from the field in general, you're going to have to limit them to one-and-done opportunities so you don't have those shot attempts inflated. Heck, Atlanta last night, this is crazy, now that I'm looking at the box score. They lost 117-111 in double overtime. Miami took 88 shot attempts. The Hawks took 113, and somehow they still lost the ball game.
That is quite a disparity, and I'm looking at the box score right now, and
you can't even look at the free throws, because Miami was 15-21 from the line and Atlanta was 11-14. That doesn't make a big difference either.
Yeah, and it's even the offensive rebounds doesn't even feel like it's a big difference either.
17 offensive boards for 23 second chance points for Atlanta, just 5 offensive boards for Miami, resulting in 2 second chance points.
Yeah, a little bit of free throw, I guess. I don't know. That does seem like a lot. A 25 field goal differential. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to go back and look at it. It's probably the free throws and offensive rebounds. We're probably just overthinking it a little bit.
Well, and they also shot 39-40% from the field. That doesn't help when the Heat shot about 48% from the field, but I digress. Either way, my number to look at tonight is rebounding for all of those numbers. But that one definitely a little bit eye-popping when you take a look at it here tonight. But that's your game preview. That's your podcast as the Hornets get ready to take on the Hawks tonight, kicking off a 3-game homestand. And before you know it, Sam Perley, the season will be done here in just a couple of days' times. But again, thank you as always for joining me on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So we'll give you the day off. We'll get you well-rested for Friday and Sunday against Boston and Cleveland, respectively. But coming up on tomorrow's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, myself and the host of Hornets Postgame on the flagship station, Sports Radio WFNZ, Will Pelagic, will break down this one between the Hawks and the Hornets. Big thanks to Sam Perley. Big thanks to all of you for tuning in to today's episode of the HHC. For Sam Perley, I'm Rob Longo, saying so long. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast. We'll recap Hornets and Hawks tomorrow right here on the HHC.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.